Not the Footy Show.
G'day everyone, welcome to episode number 82 of Not the Footy Show. Warwick Nicholson, why am I holding this?
Well, DC Chapman, it's the NRL Tweet Player of the Year Award.
Yep.
The Sippy Cup, as I like to call it. And we're going to award this to Benji Marshall, who won it on Monday night at the end of the show. But there is one downside to all of this. It means that Billy Slater didn't win our award. And sorry, Billy, you can't win everything. Even though you probably should.
Congratulations, Benji Marshall. Thanks, bro.
Hello everyone, welcome to Not the Footy Show, episode 82. It's your second podcast in a space of about 3 days, so you're very lucky out there in podcast land. I'm Warwick Nicholson.
I'm DC Chapman. I wasn't here for the last one, but I'm here now.
Mate, you had some stuff to do with on Monday with work. My brother, R. Nicholson, stepped in, did a great job. The download numbers have gone through the roof since they've known you haven't been on
really?
Air. So,
oh no.
Mate, the pressure is on to pull out a great performance this evening.
Right, I'm down.
Okay, what have we got on the show this week?
We've got Andy Raymond doing the contenders and the pretenders.
Yeah, we're going to break down the top eight and say who can actually win the comp and who can't. And the key player for your team's chances in 2011.
We've got Maria talking the best and worst dressed of the Daily M's.
Yeah, Maria Cialis was there for Big League Magazine and she cast her eye over all the boys and all the girls. And she's come back with the best dressed and the worst dressed. But the best one is, who's batting above their average, really?
You know. That's all anyone cares about, really.
It is, and it'd be very interesting to see who that was, and there's some good stories about the after party that you'll have to tune in to find out. We've got Matty Duncan coming on to just wrap up round 26. Sorry to all those teams
nice and quick
that are out of the competition for the rest of the year, but you'll get a very fleeting glimpse of how your team went in round 26.
Basically,
what are we talking about with Matt?
Well, we're going to be doing a big finals preview.
Yeah, all the qualifying finals in depth. Key players, et cetera, et cetera. And we've got a new tipping format for us out the panel for Not the Footy Show over the finals.
Mm-hmm. Don't tell them what it is now. They've got to listen to find out what it is.
All right, so we'll have all our guests in some sort of order, I'm not sure which, on the show. This is episode 82 of...
Not the Footy Show.
Not the Footy Show.
You know, again, you don't play the game for these individual honours, but, you know, they're great when they come along and, you know, everyone says it. It's a team sport and, you know, no individual can go out there and perform to the best of their ability without the other 12 blokes on the field at that particular time doing their job. And that's what we're about at the Melbourne Storm, is just everyone playing their role and doing the best job that they can for the Storm.
Now, that's a lovely sentiment, Billy Slater, but at the end of the day, they didn't do enough to help you win the NRL Tweet Player of the Year. That went to Benji Marshall. Better luck next time, Billy. Now, we love you, Billy Slater. Well done on Daily M champ. And here is a flashback to, I think, 2003. Some Billy Slater magic.
Last play, 15 metres out from the line. Bulldogs leading by two. Sherwin beat Howe. Got the kick in. Good bounce here for Slater. Slater with a dummy got past Ryan. Now look at the speed. Slater, Pat, over halfway. Slater speeding now. Gets inside the 20. He's going to get there. Billy Slater. That is slashing rugby league. That is exciting. That is exhilarating. It is Billy Slater, the man with a minus touch.
Hodgson taken by Norton. He took him late. Marshall skips away. Marshall's still going. Marshall's got Richards coming up outside. Now inside. Richards pursued. He pushes Johnson away. Pat Richards has scored. A magnificent try. Link of the field stuff.
Not the Footy Show. Show.
Harris, he turns, goes through the middle. Look who! Benny Barber. 7 games, 7 tries, and it just keeps getting better.
Okay, everyone. Well, Andy Raymond was on the show a few weeks ago, and he went through all the also-rans for 2011, and we've got him back to talk about all the contenders for the premiership. And I'm joined by DC Chapman, and we're talking Andy Raymond.
Hello, gentlemen.
G'day.
As we've spoken about in the past, mate, the season can get very long, but now we're in September, there's a whole new energy in the room.
Yeah, there is. It's a weird time of year, isn't it? Because half of the fans, you know, get a little bit disillusioned because half the teams aren't there. My team's one of them, and it's like, that's the season, hey? You know, the other 50% of the fans are absolutely pumped. And by the end of this weekend, all of us will be pumped again. Gee, I reckon there's some good footy on the weekend and Friday night. is going to be an absolute belter.
It's going to be a cracker, isn't it?
It is, mate. I'm with you in the camp of having a team out of the finals race. I must admit,
shocking.
The sooner Canberra season was over was the better for me, just quietly. I must admit, I'm very happy that the off season is here. We've got obviously 8 pretty good sides left in the premiership, and Dave, who are they?
We got Melbourne, Sea Eagles, Brisbane, Dragons, Warriors, Cowboys, and Newcastle. Who did I miss?
And the Tigers.
And the Tigers.
Just
I missed the Tigers.
Going to win the comp, that's all, mate. And as we spoke about a few weeks ago, Andy, you know, there are going to be teams that we label as contenders, and there's also going to be teams that really are, for lack of a better word, pretenders at this time of year. We're going to start off with really the contenders, and that probably starts at the top with the Melbourne Storm. Minor premiers, a year removed from Wooden Spooners. They all cleaned up pretty much at the Dally M's last night. Do you put the Melbourne Storm firmly in the contenders category?
Absolutely. But, you know, and we're going to do this for the next couple of minutes for the next 7 teams. Really easy to pick a negative with most of these. The Storm have had 2 losses. Look, I know they rested Billy Slater and Cameron Smith, but they got lapped by the Roosters, and that was meant to be the semi-finals or the finals, you know, dress rehearsal. They got lapped. There was other guys not there. And, you know, a Melbourne fan will come up with 100 reasons why they got beaten, but they got beaten and well. A month ago, I would have said, you know, Melbourne, absolutely. At the moment, it's a funny thing, momentum. It works for you and it works against you. At the moment, it's working against them. I think they'll dispose of the Knights and do so pretty comfortably in the opening round. They'll get the week off. Maybe that's not good either, coming off 2 wins. You want to keep winning.
Well, that's the whole thing. You know, resting Cam Smith and Billy Slater in round 26. I must admit, I was expecting that resting period to happen a good month beforehand, and it was almost...
That's exactly what I thought, because all of a sudden, come what would be the grand final qualifier or eliminator or whatever they want to term it, Cameron and Billy have played 2 games in 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And Cooper's going to be exactly the same, 2 games in 4 weeks.
It's a big risk for Melbourne, I thought, as you were there, obviously, on Monday night, and I agree with you that, you know, the Roosters were all over them. I honestly thought once the Roosters got on the board, I think they were up 12-0 or 10-0, I thought the game was over, because Melbourne didn't look like scoring a point. And the biggest thing I take out of that game is, what happens to all these players that for the last 12 months they've been training with Billy Slater, Cameron Smith and Cooper Cronk? They've been told, if you play part of our structure, we're going to get across the line, we're going to get wins. And your confidence obviously gets built up to a certain point. Then they've turned around and they've played without their 2 of those big 3. All of a sudden, all those players that were, for lack of a better term, average, all of a sudden start to doubt themselves. And that's my biggest concern for Melbourne.
They start to feel like...
bananas!
Don't they? That's the way to put it.
Yeah.
They're feeling like crap at the moment. The other big one, in my eyes anyway... Gareth Widdop.
Yeah.
With the ankle. Look, he doesn't get an enormous amount of raps because Billy Cameron and Cooper pretty much, you know, get all the raps. Gareth has been, I think, well and truly up there as one of their best this year.
Yeah.
A genuine link between Cooper and the, you know, the wide running back rowers with, you know, Manu on one side and Proctor on the other. Gee, I reckon they're going to miss him. They've got Bobby Blair in there at 6 this weekend. But I reckon that is a massive loss, Gareth Widdop.
Yeah, I completely agree. We need to look at, obviously, the key player. We've spoken about the big 3. It's hard to split any of them at the best of times. But if you had to choose the one player that gets Melbourne across the line if they win the premiership in 2011, which one is it?
Cooper Cronk, for me. Billy Slater, I think, is the best number one I've seen. He's the rightful Dally M winner because I think he's been the best player over the course of the year. Again, just my opinion, for whatever it's worth. Cameron Smith's the best 9 in the game, and he's probably been the second or third best player of the year.
Yeah.
So why the hell am I saying Cooper Cronk?
Yeah, exactly.
I just think he's a conduit between.
Yep. I think you're definitely right. He makes Billy Slater look that little bit extra good, doesn't he? He really has that great ability in the halves to mix with Slater and bring him into the match. I'd be with you. I reckon.
I tell you what, we don't see a lot of. We think we see a lot of it, but we don't. We don't see a lot of Cameron Smith to Billy Slater action.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen as much as maybe, you know, experts suggest or rant on about. The little bloke in seven, 95% of the time, is the one in between and making it happen.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I'm going with Cooper Cronk as my choice for Melbourne. Dave?
I would have gone Cameron, because I do see him as the architect of that team. He really is the one that's solidly out there the whole time making tackles and making plays.
Yeah.
And he's the one directing them around the park.
Yeah.
He's the one that's guiding them around for 80 minutes.
But I will say this, it's a nice problem to have in Melbourne if you've got three people that are clamouring for that number one tag. So we're definitely putting the Melbourne Storm into Contenderville. That leaves us with the Manly Ring of Seagulls, minus Glenn Stewart till possibly the preliminary final. Maybe if Manly win week one, the grand final. There's doubts over Brett Stewart's knee. Will Hopper-Wade is no guarantee of coming back this week. Do you think Manly have taken a too big a hit with Glenn Stewart being out for those first two rounds?
I think it's a massive hit. I've got an enormous rap on him. And what Manly's problem is, I think, is the fact that they haven't been able to replace him with a kind player.
Yeah.
You know, when a player is injured, coaches have got two choices. They either replace him with the next best player down the pecking order, or they find someone within their squad that is more like in style the player that they're missing.
Yeah.
Shane Rodney, Vic Morrow and Anthony Watmo are the back row this week. And Shane and Vic aren't similar in any way, shape or form to Glenn Stewart.
Yeah.
So a lot of things have to change with the change of personnel because Glenn Stewart's not there. Therefore, it's different for the guys on the inside. It's different for the guys on the outside. I don't know if there is a player in the Manly roster that Des thinks, you know, is similar or kind to Glenn Stewart. So he's been forced to put in the next best player. Doesn't always work. Again, they have momentum. And a bunch of their guys have had the week off. And at this time of year, no one's yet to convince me that having a week off is, you know, overly beneficial.
It works for some teams and it doesn't work for others, doesn't it? I think a week off at this stage would be great for, say, the Dragons. But for a team like the Tigers, I think that would be disastrous.
Hey, Dave, I agree with you. I'm going to give you a different slant on this, though.
Okay.
I think it can be beneficial if the whole team's got the week off, but I don't know if it's beneficial if individuals within that structure have had the week off.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I hear what you're
everyone
saying.
Gets a rest or no one gets a rest type thing.
No, I completely agree with you on the basis that a week off, probably, as we said with Melbourne, they probably needed it 4 weeks before. Same thing with Manly. I'm with you on the Glenn Stewart thing. I would rate him as that player that I think is the X factor for Manly if they are going to win the comp this year. And I'll throw this one at you. Does it benefit Manly more if they lose this week to the Cowboys, thus eat up another week of Glenn Stewart's suspension that means he can play in the preliminary final if they get there?
Yes, I say so, yeah.
I can see your theory, and I would reckon there'd be six other teams... hoping Manly win because of the little bloke in number seven that's playing for North Queensland.
Yeah.
If North Queensland are to win, Thurston will need to excel. And if Thurston can excel and get back to the form that he was showing mid-year before the knee injury, you'd be a brave man to say the Cowboys can't win the comp and do it really well.
Well,
It only takes one win.
Let's look at the Cowboys while we're on them. We said they've got the Seagulls this week.
Let's finish the Seagulls. Are they contenders or are they pretenders?
I think they're still contenders.
Because they're still contenders, but they've lost a lot of guts, a lot of their engine room.
Depends how many of them, you know. Depends if Brett Stewart plays. Depends if Will Hobbawati plays. Both of them are still in doubt. You take those two guys out of the side, all of a sudden it starts to look a little bit thin again.
Yeah. No, I still think the fact they finished second, that keeps them in the mix for that.
And they have been playing some very good football.
They have played
all year.
They probably, they could argue, I mean, Melbourne obviously have been a fantastic, but there's probably been a side that's been able to maintain a level of consistency. It's probably been Manly every week. To the Cowboys, as you touched on a second ago, obviously JT is the man up there. Hasn't been in great form since he's come back from his knee injury. It ultimately cost him the Dally M. He didn't poll any votes, I think, in that stretch coming back from the knee injury. Yep. But Matt Scott with a back injury, he's been fighting on hard the last few weeks, but you can tell he's not 100% fit. Matty Bowen is probably the player in the best form for the Cowboys right now, but I think they just lost so much with Tarik Sims getting hurt.
I think they've lost a lot with Tarik, and I think he hit on it with Matty Scott and his lower back injury. The dominance that he was able to exhibit early in the year hasn't been there since State of Origin, and I would imagine the big unit is carrying a few more bumps and bruises than maybe he's letting on. As a result of Matty's, see, I don't like to use the term drop in form because it almost seems disrespectful because he's still been playing good footy. But he hasn't, because his level hasn't been maintained for the back end of the year, I think there's been a drop in the other forwards, James Tamau in particular, Ashton Sims, the other middle third players. They haven't been able to, pump their chest as much as they would have when Matty was, really carving them up. Think back to around Origin and just pre-Origin, and Matt Scott was in a class above.
He was. The thing that comes to me in relation to how Matt Scott's gone in the last 6 or 8 weeks is I go back to that Bunnies game. I don't know if you watched that match in depth, but when they got their lead, Matty Scott was off the field for a good 15, 20 minutes. He was off the field. The Cowboys just gradually lost the fight in the middle of the field. The Bunnies got back into the match, and from memory, Matt Scott came on back with, he was on for the last 5 minutes, but by then the tide had turned already, and I think that highlights it again that, as you say, his impact on the rest of the players when he's on the field is so big, and really that's the biggest risk that the Cowboys have got is that if he's struggling so bad with his injury, he can't play as big a minutes as he has been. And the confidence for that pack has just been really diminishing.
It's a very good highlight of just how important forwards are. Because you get yourself a forward that rolls forward, game after game after game. I'll use Michael Wayman last year as the example. It really does affect the rest of the pack, like you said.
So, Cowboys, boys, contenders or pretenders?
Just out the door, I think, for me.
Pretenders from Dave. Andy?
I think they can beat Manly. I think Manly deserve to be favourites. But I think they can beat Manly, and if they do, it's time to get nervous for the others.
Okay, we'll move on to the next team on the ladder, which was the Brisbane Broncos, who got dealt two really big blows. One's a massive one, I think, is just gigantic. That's no Josh Hoffman for the rest of the season. And Sam Thaiday, 2 week suspension. We've seen teams finish in the top four before and lose two in a row and go out. Do we identify the Brisbane Broncos as that team this year?
No, I think they'll beat the Warriors. I agree. I think Hoffman is a massive loss. The energy and the power that he starts the set off with is constantly giving the Broncos a territorial advantage. If you averaged him out across the year, I reckon that'd be good numbers in his kick returns. He's defensively safe. Nothing wrong with Gerard Beale going back there, but again, different style, different body shape, different strengths, different weaknesses, and sometimes you just want the same. And the fact that Josh is out, I reckon that's a massive blow.
I'm with you that I think that, Saturday night's game, it's a bit of a toss-up anyway, but I just don't know if without him that structure that Brisbane's just executed so well this year can flow. I want to see Darren Lockyer make the GF in his last year. I don't think they'll win the comp, but this injury to me, it rules them out for me. I'll put him in the pretender category.
Wow.
Yep, there you go.
Okay, Justin Hodges back too.
For how long?
Yeah, good point.
That shuts that down.
Good point. Is Justin Hodges right?
Yeah.
And here's one for you. Justin Hodges to fullback.
Well, I loved him at fullback in every game he's played there, but if you've got a bad hamstring and you've got to be doing kick returns, the risk of the ping when you try and come back at any kind of full speed, because the great thing with hammies is you can sort of get through if you kind of control what you do,
but he's running around. He's going to take bombs and the rest of it. I don't know how long it lasts, but I mean, as I said, for Darren Lockyer's sake, I want to see him make a bit of a run, but I'm putting a line through him.
Look, I don't think Hoffman is that big a loss. I know he's been playing very, very well, but I don't know. He's not one of the big names that you know that other teams are losing. Okay. To me, Thaiday's a bigger loss. Thaiday really is one of those guys that just the tenacity in him and when he makes a good half a dozen runs every game that's just like off his head and he just barrels the line and it sets up the whole rest of the team to surge forward.
If we go back to what Andy was saying before about replacing like for like, the one thing that Broncos have got is an abundance of back rowers.
Yeah.
And so they can replace Sam Thaiday with a similar player, Matty Gillette or a Ben Teo. So I don't think they're going to miss him quite as badly on this first week in particular. They might miss him when it becomes sudden death next week. But yeah, Andy, you still reckon they can challenge though?
Yeah, I do, and I think they'll miss Sam's inspiration more than what he's been providing physically.
Yep.
Not that he's been playing poorly by any stretch of the imagination, but he's the one that his teammates like Justin Hodges. You know, if they look and see him there, there's a little bit of confidence just in his presence.
Yeah,
yeah.
Those big plays, and he's what I like to call it is he's got that mongrel about him. He's got that tenacity.
He's got a bit of stuff in him.
Yeah,
he does indeed. Dave, you said contender or pretender?
I can't rule him out. I think they're still contenders.
Okay. Moving on to the next team, the West Tigers. They win 8 games in a row at the end of the season. Benji came close to winning the Dally M on the back of that form, and I think the player that I will identify. Oh, we didn't identify the player for the Broncos. X Factor, is it Darren Lockyer or is it Darren Lockyer?
It's Darren Lockyer.
Yeah. All right, under the Tigers. Robbie Farah hasn't had the best of seasons. He's been struggling with the groin injury for most of the year. He stood up when it needed to be won on Saturday night against the Sharkies. That's exactly what I want to see if I'm a West Tigers fan, because as great as Marshall is, I would probably put down Robbie Farah as the key player for the Tigers in September.
I think Robbie Farah, if he's on, is going to be able to turn the Dragons' centre third around really quickly.
Yep.
And I still maintain that's the key, getting in behind their markers and just being able to push them back to 3 or 4 tackles and not letting them have that ascendancy.
Yep.
And if Farah's on, he can do that. And he was on last start.
Yeah, exactly. So that means we've got the two big names, obviously, the Marshall and the Farah factor. The big question for the Tigers going into this final series is Chris Lawrence. The same thing happened to him last year. He did his jaw. He wasn't back until, I think, the first week of the finals, the second week of the finals.
That's right.
And that was a big loss for them at the time. He's marked down to play this weekend. Some of the talk out of the Dally M's was he's 1,000,000 to 1. What are you hearing on Chris Lawrence?
I haven't heard a great deal, to be honest. I would be surprised if he came back, and I only say that because they've put 8 together, and confidence isn't an issue.
Yeah.
Neither is form. So you know, if they decide to keep Matt Utai,
that's the question.
In starting 13.
Would you keep Matt Utai in your starting 13 or play a Mitch Brown?
Oh, yeah, Mitch Brown's another option. Different players, aren't they?
Mm. I think
very different players. Do you look at replicating Chris Lawrence, or do you look at your opposing men and say, okay, Gazdy and Cooper are the two guys that we're up against. Who best fits the one-on-one matchup?
Yeah, it'll be on Gazdy as well.
Yeah, maybe it's Mitch.
Yeah, well, I think that he's just... I think the biggest advantage... I mean, it's been great to see Matt Utai make a comeback this year into the NRL. But there is a definite target on his back when it comes to defensively. You can expose him in the air. You can turn him around. There's a lot of things that you can target with him in the side. Mitch Brown doesn't get a lot of raps, but he's a very solid footballer. And you don't see him miss too many tackles or drop too many balls. And I wouldn't say he's just one of those run-of-the-mill centres either. He's got a bit about him, I think, and... I actually think he's a far better option than Matt Utai at this time of the year.
Steve, it's really interesting just having a flick through the big league to see that that Tim Sheens has named an extended squad, named a squad of 20. Really interesting to see the name Andrew Fifita back, because it hasn't been there for some time now.
Exactly.
I wonder, he's been in the doghouse.
Yeah.
I just wonder if Tim Sheens has gone, thought to himself, okay, I've proven the point that this kid was on fire at the start of the year. And maybe he's another one with a little bit of stuff in him.
Well, I
wonder if Tim Sheens is thinking maybe this is his deal.
Well, I've got another theory for you along those lines. Fifita's form dipped pretty much when he went and signed with the Sharkies. You could tell he wasn't happy with the whole situation, and the sting had gone out of his game. Tim Sheens has put him back to the New South Wales Cup, give him a kick up the backside. But I think the main thing that he's done is, I mean, coach is playing mind games. It never happens. But what are the odds? He's turned around and said, well, mate, I'm going to give you this little carrot out in front of you. I want to see you take it.
Yeah.
And he's waited till this week. Because if you give him a chance in round 25 or 26, maybe he comes back and holds himself back a little bit, thinks, oh, I'm just getting a token run in first grade. But a semi-final, you know, and one of the things, he was in the team last year, lost to the Dragons. There's plenty to prove here for Andrew Fifita. And everyone's forgotten about him, as you say. I like it. I reckon he's a massive chance to play on the weekend.
So do I, and give him really clear instructions. You know, Merrin and Wayman are yours. And when the first time you get out there and you see one of those blokes with the ball, I want you to put him on two stretches.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
And he still really has to prove himself for the Sharks next year, really. I mean, he's not assuming to play for them.
He's got his contract, mind you.
to start. I mean,
they're the key parts. I mean, we've identified Farah, identified Marshall, do we? I think we all agree that the Tigers definitely contenders.
Yeah.
Yep.
The key
I actually think whoever wins Friday night is going to be the favourite for the comp and awfully hard to beat.
The beauty of what happens this week, though, in that game is that we can see those two teams play again in the GF, which is good.
Right.
Tigers, the X factor for them, Andy?
Benji.
Dave?
Yeah, I can't go past Benji.
I'll stick with Robbie Farah. But everyone knows I just love the bloke. Yeah. All right, the St. George Dragons, we're almost at the end, I think, of the contenders. These guys are definitely still amongst it. They've had two good weeks of football. They've probably had, to be honest, a good month of football. They lost a few games before these two wins against the Warriors and the Panthers. Have we seen enough Dragons football from them in this last month to honestly think that they can put the same month together as they did last year? Or do we think they've got to win in a different way this time?
I think that they need to get more of it. They're turning the corner and they're getting there, but if they don't get back to what they had at the beginning of this year, then I do think Tigers will beat them, and I think that they won't have the same impact that they had last year.
What about you, Andy?
I think it's the 3 and 4 on the both sides of the field. I think it's the centre and the back rower on both sides that have been a little down, lacking a little impact. And I think, you know, Craig Scott, Cooper Gaznia, they lift, and all of a sudden, the options open right up.
Yeah, indeed, I think.
You've got to think that they're going to lift.
Well, it hasn't quite... It's been there in little bits and pieces, but it hasn't been there in the same way that we've seen from them in the past. And, I mean, my assertion on the Dragons is I think Darius Boyd's the key to their team and the way they play. It's going to be very interesting to see how they go next year without him. But, I mean, Steve Price might change things up entirely. But the real thing for me with them is... defensively, they're just not quite at the level that we thought they'd be at. And it was identified at the start of the year, even the year before. You can't play the way they played for a good 18 months for longer than 2 or 3 years. It happened with the Roosters back at the start of the decade.
Yep.
You can't physically get up for everything. And I think they're still a big chance at making the GF, even if they lose this match. But I begrudgingly put them in there out of respect as a contender. But I don't think they're one of the top two sides at the
same time. Yeah, I put him as a contender, I guess, until proven otherwise.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dave goes for the Dragons, so we know where he puts them.
Yeah, but I agree with both of you on that. We can't call them genuine contenders at the moment.
Dave, who's your X Factor?
See, the Dragons specialise in not having an X Factor.
But you have to choose one. You've got to choose one bloke. All right, well, he's thinking...
I got to think.
I'll tell you that I guess it's what everyone's thinking, but no one's saying. Jamie Soward's got to get better.
Yep, it's a fair call.
Jamie hasn't played well since Origin, and if Jamie fires, they'll fire.
Yep, Dave, yeah, come on.
That's a good point.
Jamie Soward is it, man?
But is he? I don't.
We've got to get off the Dragons, mate. We're
okay,
running
but outside. I don't think he's going to step up like everyone thinks he will.
Well, yeah,
and therefore
probably not enough for him then.
Well, then you've got to say it's going to be Darius Boyd or.
All right. Darius Boyd, there you go, okay, done.
Yep.
All right, now, the team that everybody wanted to get on at the start of the year was the New Zealand Warriors. We said that they were the smoky. Everyone was saying, oh, they're the team I'm going to pick as the GF. They started the season, I think, with three straight losses. And then people went, oh, let's get off the train. Now they're back. They've got into the sixth spot. They can play some really good football. They're better when they don't make mistakes, as most teams are, but that seems to be the way that Ivan Cleary likes to get into his side. They've matched up with the Broncos, which is a good first-week matchup, but I personally, the 2 weeks ago against the Dragons, they had the game. For me, they were leading going into, I think, midway through the start of the second half. But basically, they looked like they were in charge, and they didn't go on with it. And to me, I had to rule them out as a premiership threat because I thought the Dragons were still beatable at that stage, and I'm rotting the Warriors off. That's just me.
I've had doubts on them pre-season. And I still look through their roster, and I don't think it's in the top eight rosters in the NRL.
Yeah.
I think there's sides that aren't playing this week that have got better playing rosters. So I guess the congratulations is in order to Ivan and the team. Have they overachieved? Yeah, in my mind, they have, for whatever that is worth. I don't think they're a premiership team.
Yeah.
And I probably don't need to say anymore.
Okay, Dave?
I feel very similar to you guys. I think they've played a lot better than what you guys are giving them credit for. But you're right, that loss to the Dragons, they didn't have the right stuff to do it. And
they didn't finish the game off.
Yeah. And
you can't do that in
the Dragons
football.
Gave them the first 10 points by kicking the ball out of the pool.
Get off the Dragons, mate. All right, so X Factor, if they are to do anything, like though, is it James Maloney or is it Kevin Locke?
Kevin Locke.
Dave?
Maloney.
I think it's Kevin Locke. I'm with you, Andy. I think Maloney is a good footballer, but he's a play off the back of what others can sort of produce for him.
Yeah,
Kevin Locke can just make things happen. He's a pretty special talent. Considering a guy like Glenn Fischiar, he came in first grade at the start of the year and we all went, hello, how good's this kid? Got hurt, hasn't been seen again. That just gives you an indication of how good Kevin Locke's going. Final team look at is the Newcastle Knights. They got in because of that point-scoring fest on Friday night against the Bunnies when defence went out the window. I think we're all in agreements that they're definitely a pretender at this stage of the year. They've got the toughest matchup in the semi-finals. I actually think they'll make a game of it on Sunday, but there's just not enough quality on that football side.
Agreed.
Respectfully, I agree. And I think they should be... They won't be happy, but I think they should be happy with their year because I think they've overachieved.
Yeah.
Again, I don't think they've got a top eight roster, but they're there. And I think that points towards the fact that, they have had a good year and they've individually done well, they've collectively done well, but I can't see them competing with Melbourne.
Yeah, I'm with you as well. Biggest advantage that the Knights get is, I think the last two or three years, they made the semi-finals, they haven't done anything, but that experience is going to be huge for Wayne Bennett to tap into next year, and they've added some quality players to go with it. So, as you say, it's not all doom and gloom for the Knights, because even if they lose this week, there's a lot that they'll take out of this thing. And they've got a guy called Achille Uwate who you just love watching play.
Yeah,
I agree.
I think they're looking forward to the next 4 years. Really.
Next year. They just want next year. Premiership, Wayne's in the town, Darius is in town. It's all happening. Well, Andy Roman, mate, thanks for sticking with us for a while to have a look at all the contenders and pretenders for the premiership. We need to ask you again. The GF will be contested by which teams and who wins?
Can I answer it next week?
we'll give you at least another week, mate. No dramas.
Andy almost did answer it before when he was talking about the Tigers and the Dragons.
Well, he did, but that's... He obviously just can't get enough of Not the Footy Show, and that's why he's back on.
All right.
Andy Raymond, it's been a pleasure chatting, mate. And if you want to enjoy the next month... Now, I'm pretty sure I asked you this before, but the Fox Sports, are they doing any in the semi-finals or not?
Yeah, I'm actually calling a Toyota Cup game on Saturday night to help out.
Okay.
I've got the Sharks and Bulldogs, and I'm making the trek to Melbourne Sunday to call the Storm and the Knights, and so I'm really looking forward to it.
Excellent. Just one thing just to keep an eye on for all those Not the Footy Show fans who support the Bulldogs. There's about three players in the back row for the Bulldogs that put up amazing stats every single week. And from what I understand, it's one of the big reasons that Andrew Ryan's moved on next year. Can you keep an eye out for Dale Finucane, Paul Carter, and Josh Jackson for us, and give us a report on them in the next couple of weeks?
Yep. Paulie Carter. Carter's actually slated to start from the bench, but I've seen enough of Jackson and Tanukan to say that these two guys, they're the real deal.
Excellent. Andy Raymond, thanks for being on the show. We'll speak to you next time.
See you, guys.
See you, mate.
Off the footy show. Show?
Throw me a frickin' bone here. I'm the boss. Need the info.
Okay, everyone, Maria Cialis from Big League Magazine. She has got out of bed. She's dragged herself to a phone after a huge night at the Dally M's, and she's on the line. Good evening, Maria.
Good evening. How are you?
Oh, look at this. Putting on a special voice just to talk to me. Now, off air before we came on, you were like, oh, I'm just struggling. I can't go. But now it's just fluent. Hello, how are we?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. So you were home in bed by, what, 10:30?
Yeah, something like that. Give or take a few hours.
Well, people want to know. People want to know about the Dally M's. Was this your debut at the Dally M's?
No, actually, I went last year as well. But last year was a sit-down at the State Theatre, so it was not as... didn't get quite as messy.
Indeed. So everybody wants to know, was there any goss that legally you can tell us from the night?
To be honest, all the players tend to go home after the ceremony, so we don't see anything. Unfortunately, I think that would be pretty interesting.
No, I wasn't talking about the players.
Oh, okay, you're talking about the journalists, yeah.
Yeah, the journalists, yeah. The media, everybody who's out there. What can you spill? Give us something.
Well, the really good effort by Gordon Tallis and Brad Fittler, who we went to the pub across the road after the event, and then after that we went to the Piedmont Bridge Hotel and they were still hanging around. I left at 3:15 and they were still there.
Kicking on.
Drinking away. Yeah. So
very, very good.
Special. Yeah, they were great.
Fantastic. So there was a bit of a good vibe afterwards, obviously. People were pretty happy with Billy Slater getting the gong.
I think they were. I was particularly. I know you guys picked Benji Marshall as your player of the year.
Well, it wasn't just us. It was the whole voting process. I think that's the important thing to put out there is that, and I know Billy got the award in the end, but we did point out on our show on Monday that Slater did get the Mr. Consistency Award, which meant that he got the most votes across games of anybody. And Benji, I think, had 2 games less where he polled votes. But so we weren't anti-Billy getting it. We only had him in 5th on our total votes. But he held off Billy in the end, Benji in the end.
Yeah, and I think that in terms of the entire season, as always, but he's just been really special once again this year. So consistently, he's been one of the best performers. So I was really happy to see him get it.
Yeah, so he ended up winning. That's his first Dally M award. Now, the Proven Summers Medal, which is the one that all the fans vote on, a pretty popular choice here at Not the Footy Show. Who won it?
Heidi, again.
Yeah, he sent out a tweet this afternoon saying thanks to everybody for voting and also the congratulations as well. So he knows how to look after his fans, which is a good thing. But is that his 5th award?
Yeah, I've read that he's 5th, and I think maybe Andrew Johns got 5 back in the day as well. So Heidi's still got a few more years to go. He could probably smash the record, I reckon.
The interesting one here is that he beat out Darren Lockyer, which I would have thought on a fan-based one, Lockyer's last year. Were you surprised that Heidi got the award ahead of Lockyer with the sentimental vote?
Not particularly with the Proven Sons. I was surprised he didn't get 5/8 of the year, to be honest, or captain of the year. I mean, yeah, you'd probably go with Cameron, but I thought he'd win something.
Yeah, well, he ended up with a goose egg, unfortunately, but he's still got a chance at a premiership as well. Rookie of the Year, Daly Cherry Evans. Good to see the undisputed choice for that award getting it.
Absolutely. Yeah, there was no doubt about it, ever. I personally, I was the only one I was really sort of surprised at is the Toyota Cup Player of the Year.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you.
We tend to watch a lot of Toyota Cup.
Yeah.
And I can't believe that... Not that Jack DeBellin's not a great player, because I think he definitely has potential, but how you could go past someone like Omar Slamik or from the Warriors,
yeah,
who smashed everyone.
Yeah, well, you mentioned that to us, what, 2 weeks ago about Omar.
He's a really good player, so I don't know what he has to do to win something.
And they have another award that's named after the late Peter Frelingos. It's the Headline Moment Award of the Year. Now, obviously, being in the rugby league media, Maria, they picked Paul Gallen's performance in Origin 2. Could you think of anything that could contend with that?
Well, the thing is, everything that probably could is probably a bit negative. So, I thought it was nice, actually. I don't know. Some of the choices were strange. Like, the bunnies, there were two bunnies on.
I must admit, I had prior engagement last night, so I didn't actually watch the awards. What were the other two options?
Nathan Merritt scoring 5 tries against Parramatta, which is kind of like, who cares?
Okay, yeah.
Unless you're a Sydney fan, of course. And I think the other bunnies. Oh, and then there was when St. George played the bunnies earlier in the year.
Early
in the year. Sorry?
When they came back.
No, before that. And they kept them scoreless. St. George kept them scoreless. And Matt Cooper made a really good tackle on Chris McLean, I think. That was one of the headline moments.
Wow.
Sitting there going, really?
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. Over the rest of the show today, I'll ask the rest of the panellists and get them to see if they can come up with a better option. I think we can do better than the other two options. But the Paul Gallen one was pretty special, being at the match. It was an amazing performance by PG-13. Well, there's the Dally M's. I have to ask the really important questions right at the end. Number one is, which rugby league player is batting well above his average?
Have you seen Kurt Gidley's wife?
Ding, 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 ding. Completely agree.
she's amazing. Looking.
I think they get married in the off-season, she said. And she was quite animated. I was watching before I had to go out, I was watching the pre-match feed on Fox Sports. They were showing it live, which was kind of funny because Renee Gartner and Brendan Cowell were just doing takes, like, in between. It was all getting streamed live. I don't know if they realised that they were actually on air all the time. But they were chatting to Kurt and, is it Brooke? Is that her name?
Yes, yeah, I believe so.
And she was talking about how the atmosphere at Aldergrid Stadium was amazing. It was like a grand final. And she was really into a footy, which was really cool to hear her passion about, obviously, what is the livelihood of Kurt.
Yeah, well, I guess if you're married to a player, you have no choice, do you? Even if you didn't like it before,
Yeah, I think there was a funny comment from, I think it was Jason Nightingale's partner, and she said, look, I've been brought in, the whole family's Dragons fans, they're teaching me week by week about the game and all that kind of stuff, so it's obviously a bit of a reality once you match up with a footy player, that's going to start to become part of your life. Best Dressed
Can
Award.
I get a special mention, sorry?
Yes, oh yes, absolutely.
I think Luke Lewis's wife is really lovely as well.
Ah. Now, was she in the green dress?
Yes, she was. And okay. She's just really sweet, like really friendly. And they were the only couple to come to the pub afterwards for a little bit before they left. So that was really
cool.
Nice.
Ah, excellent. Yeah. Now, Best Dressed Award, male and female?
Oh, I find the male one really hard. They all kind of look the same.
They did have a moment on that. I said I only saw 15 minutes of the live feed, but it was a pretty entertaining 15 minutes. Akil Iwate admitted to Renee Gartner that he'd gone out shopping the day before and bought his own suit, which was kind of cool. It was this little grey number. That could be a chance for the boys. But your choice?
I think Ben Barber looked nice.
Oh, Ben Barber always looks nice.
Well, he always looks like a really good player.
Very good. Yes? Yeah, so he wins the best dress for the males, yeah, and the females?
I don't know if you got to look at her, but Kieran Foran's girlfriend.
No, I didn't. Yes, keep going.
Stunning, and her dress was this gold thing, and they were, she looks really good.
Okay, so there you go, people. The Queen of Rugby League has designated the best dressed male, best dressed female at the Dally M's last night, and she's letting you know that if you're heading out at a pub at 3 a.m. in the morning, there's a good chance that Brad Fittler and Gordon Tallis might be out there. But in a good way, people, of course, not going crazy. But they're definitely life of the party, which is a great thing to hear. Okay, we've got a couple of things we've got to quickly touch on before we get to your view on the qualifying finals. We're into the semi-finals, and we're talking to Andy Raymond later on, but I must admit, the season gets long. By about round 17 or 18, I'm struggling. I'm really finding it hard to get the motivation to keep going, and then we've hit September, and is it just me, or is there a new life in the air for all of us?
Oh, no, definitely not. It's exciting. A few of the games, to be honest, are a bit dud.
Well, let's have a look at them. Because, I mean, this goes all along the lines of this whole argument that's been going on in the media for the last 3 or 4 days about home finals, where they should be played, and fairness and all that sort of stuff. Look, the long and the short of it is the NRL keeps trotting out that all the club's CEOs agreed to this new change, so all the coaches should have shut up and just accept it. But there have been some comments that have just been rather funny about it. And I heard Gallup on the Rush Hour the other day say that it wasn't fair. It wasn't the fairest way we had to do it all for all the clubs to have home finals. He said, you know, it's a reality that they're not going to have home finals at their suburban grounds. But then he turned around 5 minutes later and said it wasn't fair to allow Manly to have their home game at Brookie and yet force the other teams to play at the SFS and ANZ. So it's all right. The basis of that is it's all right for some clubs to have home finals, but not for others. And that's where it just becomes rather hilarious. Friday night, though, we've got the Tigers playing the Dragons at ANZ Stadium. Do you reckon we're going to crack 50,000?
Yeah, I think so. I think we should get about 55, 60. I know I asked the NRL on Tuesday how many members' tickets they had sold in the pre-sale, and they had sold 10,000. Like, all the Category A was pretty much gone. And that's the fastest they ever sold for a qualifying final before, yep. So... Yeah, I think there'll be plenty of people out there. Not even just Tigers and Dragons supporters. I think anybody in Sydney who's looking for something to win a Friday night would go out there.
Well, there's two games in Sydney for the first week of the finals, but yeah, this one, it's the biggie. Who do you like between the Tigers and the Dragons?
Well, I think the Dragons are favourites.
Yeah, they are, but a little bit. Because I need to tell you this, and this everybody has already known if they've heard it, but for our tipping in the finals, Maria, we're not just doing who we think's going to win. We're going to add something to it because there's only a few of our games every week. We're going to say, you've got to say whether the team that's got the start is either going to cover the start or not cover the start. It's a pretty easy way of doing it. Now, the Tigers are plus 2.5, I think. Let me just double check that. I'm pretty sure they're about 2. So, let me just check. Loading. All right. Okay, the Tigers got a 2-point head start. So if you want to tip Tips and George, that means they've got to win by 3.
No, I want to tip the Tigers.
Okay, so you're taking the Tigers with the start?
Yeah, and you've got to... Yeah, I'm sorry if you need to explain this carefully to me, but I don't gamble.
No, this is the way that the bookies do it all. I don't enjoy the fact that they make it all so confusing for people, but basically it means that the Tigers could lose 18 points to 16, okay? Yep. But because they've got a 2-point head start, if you pick the Tigers, they would win because they finish within 2 points of the Dragons. But if the Dragons won by 3 points or more, obviously if you pick the Dragons, you would get it, and if you pick the Tigers, you wouldn't get it. So the way that we're doing it is it's just trying to make it a little bit harder for when we do our tips over the course of the final series to get everything right. Because otherwise, everyone's you know how it's been basically the entire season. Nick McInerney's just been picking favourites every week, so I'm going to make it harder for him over the last couple of weeks. Okay, so you're taking the Tigers with a 2-point head start. Now the Broncos play the Warriors at Suncorp minus Josh Hoffman minus Sam Thaiday.
I think the Warriors will win.
Now they've got a plus 2.5, so you're happy to take that?
Yes.
Okay, so Maria with saying plus 2.5 the Warriors. The Seagulls and the Cowboys at the Sydney Football Stadium. Let's hope we get 20,000.
That's gonna be fun.
The Cowboys have got a plus 7.5.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Should I who cares at this point, right? Look, I'm just going to go to Cowboys.
Cowboys with the start for Maria. Yeah, the Seagulls, they've obviously got no... They reckon that Brett Stewart's going to play and that... who was the other guy that was in doubt? Somebody. Tell me. Who was it? Will Hopewade. There you go. They apparently will play. But, yeah, they're pretty short favourites, Manly, and I don't know if they should be. The Storm and the Knights. The Knights have got plus 10.5.
Oh, you'd have to go with the Storm, I think.
Okay, so Maria says the Melbourne will cover the start of 10.5. All right, so Matt, you say that Tigers, Warriors, Cowboys and the Storm to win in round, or to at least cover the starts in the first week of the finals. Maria, Big League Magazine has got a very special feature this week. What is it?
We've done our tries of the year. We're doing a sort of thing during the finals where we call it a set of six, so it's going to be tries, hits, plays and something else in the grand final. Anyway, this week is tries. So we've got our six top tries of the year.
Now, can I just throw a name out there that's possibly going to feature?
Yeah.
Ben Barber.
Benny Barber. Benny Barber.
Yes.
I love him.
Okay, so he's obviously got, there's at least one place that he's going to be in that top six, and that'd be for the try that he scored 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
He dove over himself and nearly broke his neck, but he scored. Now that try's in it. And there's a few others that I'm sure are coming in the mix.
Yeah, well, he's actually got two spots in the top six.
Okay.
So that's exciting for Ben, yep. I'm sure. David Means in there,
yep.
Of course.
For that lovely pickup.
Yes, yes. I don't know if you remember Delisher Evans' try against the Broncos.
That was with Brett Stewart's pass on the inside.
Yes, that amazing, amazing pass.
Nice.
And there's a couple that are sort of out of left field, actually.
Did Reese Wess's pass against the Bulldogs make it?
No, it didn't, actually.
Oh, don't tell me you forgot that Rip River Park, because that was pretty special.
You'll have to buy the magazine and see.
Very good. Okay, what else is in the magazine, Maria?
Oh, features on everyone. So we've got Jesse Bromwich, Chris Houston, Blake Aceford, Ben Teo, Simon Mannering. The list goes on. It's basically full of everything on every team going into the finals is in there. What I think is really good for really keen fans, Toyota Cup previews and New South Wales Cup previews, Queensland Cup previews, and a wrap-up of the Bundy Cup and the Schoolboys Cup.
Fantastic. Excellent. Well, Maria, the last thing we get from you before we go and say enjoy the first week of the finals is, right now, who plays in the grand final?
The Broncos and the Warriors.
Wow, there you go. And that's just a reminder to everybody that whoever teams play in the first week of the finals, they can still end up playing them in the grand final, the way that the draw works, obviously.
Well, after I said it, I had to have a good think if that actually could happen. So
yes, it can. So the Tigers and the Dragons, which has been a sexy pick for most of the, well, the start of the preseason anyway, that can still happen even though they are playing in week one. Maria Cialis, go out and have an early night tonight and recover in time for the weekend. I'm sure you're going to do that.
My dad now.
Nah, go out and enjoy yourself. She's out again. She's ski doubling up. Well done, Maria. And we'll speak to you next week on Not the Footy Show.
Thanks a lot. Talk to you later.
Not the Footy Show. Show.
Trying to play the ball. It's only the first tackle. The other was a zero. It's gone to Crump. They've got numbers. It's going to Crump. Inglis is over to score for Melbourne.
Unbelievable.
The Premiers are back. The Premiers have scored. Oh, Rabbits. This is just an amazing fight back. The crowd can't believe it. The Storm by two is the full-time siren.
Not the Footy Show. Show.
Okay, everyone, it's the man in Queensland himself, Matty Duncan. He's on the phone joining me, W. Nicholson, and
DC Chapman
in the studio. Matty Duncan, the Broncos, they've got a home final. Darren Lockyer gets another game at home. I'm sure you'll be there on Sunday, but we saw them play the Seagulls last week, mate, and you lost Josh Hoffman and you lost Sam Thaiday.
Yeah,
how are you feeling, mate?
a little bit sick was, to be honest. Take those injuries and obviously the suspension aside, it was a magical day up at Suncorp Stadium. We had great weather. There's a great crowd. I've never seen so many people at the football so early in anticipation for a game. It was just a great atmosphere. But unfortunately, there wasn't much in it. And Joshie Hoffman's done her injury and gone for the season. And then Thaiday got a bit pumped up and went over the top with a tackle. So, yeah, not ideal, but we'll play the cards we're dealt.
Yeah, indeed, mate. I just wanted to ask you quickly about what the atmosphere was like. Did you go down on the field afterwards?
Yeah, got down on the field. Stole a little bit of Suncorp Stadium grass.
I wouldn't be admitting that on air, mate. You never know. When I check the information, occasionally we've got some governmental department searching through for the podcast. So you didn't take it; just happened to be stuck to your shoe as you walked out, right?
Yeah, that's it. That's all it was. I thought, oh, here we go. I'll take this.
Very good.
It was a great day out. We all the season members got if you got there early enough, got a free T-shirt and just a great vibe there. It was a really good presentation to Lockyer. The Premier was there, the Lord Mayor, his mum, his dad, his wife, everyone. It was just a great vibe and very well done by the Broncos.
How many people do you reckon in the crowd said they were a distant relative of Darren Lockyer as they were telling stories at the pub beforehand and afterwards?
Oh, I think everyone's claimed it, you know.
In Queensland, everyone is, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh, there it is from DC Chapman.
You left it wide open.
It's working well because they've won six straight Origin series with that, that breeding program going on.
Yeah.
Mate, you're speaking of T-shirts and not the footy show. We've got our fantasy finals phase coming up. And, mate, you've perused yourself over to wnicholson.com and you've seen some of the mock-ups and... Mate, you need to be in it to win it, but what could you possibly win if you take out the finals phase?
Oh, one of these shirts was. How good are they? I remember buying a very similar shirt at the Caboolture Flea Market in about 1992, and I've still got it in the cupboard somewhere. They're very, very good. I'm very impressed by them, Oz.
Yeah, had found some old cards that I had lying around the place. I got them out for my nephew to have a look at, and I went, hang on, these are actually pretty good. And then I've got the old... I'm not a Photoshop person, everyone, so I've got the old paint open. And I've gone round the outside and got rid of the little blue outline from the old footy card that I scanned in the computer. And I've come up with these designs. That basically, it's an old school logo, and it's a caricature of the mascot coming through the logo, and it's just got Not the Footy Show underneath. So you can.
And that's what you win.
That's what you win if you win the fantasy league, and it's just tries, goals, and field goals, people. It's very easy. You pick your team before the final starts. Make sure you do that at wdnicholson.com. And if you...
The shirts are on preview at wdnicholson.com.
Yeah, you can see them all there.
So go and have a look.
They look pretty fantastic. And so we'll make sure that we get, once the final series is over, all the winners throughout the entire year will get their 1 cent. And I will tell you, everybody, that I think it's Luke Wheeler. He won the Phase 3 with his team Spookalicious, full of all those South Sydney Rabbitohs, Chris Sando, Nathan Merritt, and Benny Barber. He scored 1,000 points in the last week.
Goodness
to take
me.
Out that one. I think he's a South Sydney fan, so he'll get that. And we also have a winner in Not the Footy Show's tipping competition, Stephen Benham, Big Papa Pump, everyone remembers that name. He blitzed the field at the end, and he took out the NRL Steed Match Football. So, Stephen, if you get in touch with me, we'll organise that to be shipped out to you. So, Dave, you wanted to say something?
No, we've got to get on to the reviewing the last round.
Indeed. Let's find out how everybody ended up winning those competitions. Round 26, it kicks off with the playoff for 8, the Newcastle Knights up against the South Sydney Rabbitohs. And it was a pretty good game of touch football, Matt.
Yeah, Newcastle just come out and blew South out of the water. Just too good too early. Newcastle was a bit of an ambush from South and just blew them away. And not a lot of tackling going on in the game, though. Like you said, a good game of touch football and killer the thriller. Too good on the night, 4 tries.
Yeah, and still didn't even come close to taking out top try scorer of the year. Nathan Merritt got another couple, but I've got a story to ask you guys. I went to the taping of a new TV show, The Joy of Sets. I think it's out on the 20th of September, everybody. Outstanding. Tony Martin, Ed Caffley, brilliant.
You love them, don't you?
They're funny blokes. Anyway, I'm coming back from the station, and how you guys go? When you haven't seen a game live, you try and avoid messages on the phone, any newspaper report, like any TV or anything at all. You just... head down, walk to wherever you got to go, get home, turn the phone off, whatever. I had done beautifully. I'd got all the way to Milsons Point Station. I had dinner with a friend of mine. It's about 10:30 at night. I'm walking back up to the station. And what do I see walking lonely by himself down from the station but one solitary Bunnies fan?
With his head down?
Just in that moment, I knew they'd lost.
He
didn't have a smile. He didn't have a scowl. He didn't...
He wasn't with his mates.
There was nothing that...
Drinking
he didn't give anything away except for this one solitary South supporter walking down.
And it doesn't take much to give it away,
it doesn't. And the way my mind works, I'm sure it's the same for you, Matty and Dave, but I just knew right there that they'd been beaten. So going home to watch it on TV was extremely disappointing because, I mean, after 15 minutes, it was practically over anyway. I knew they wouldn't come back, but...
Yeah.
How do you guys deal with that sort of disappointment of knowing the result when someone comes to you and says, have you seen the game? How good was it?
See, I'm not that childish anymore, was I?
I've
grown out of it. I'm an adult now. I have children, so I've been forced.
I can't stand it.
Yeah, mate, he doesn't, and he also doesn't have Foxtel, so that would explain.
And I can pick up the vibe. If someone knows I don't want to know and they still want to talk to me, I don't want to talk to them because I can tell by the tone of their voice, even if they're not talking about football.
Even it's like an SMS. You get an SMS from your mate and you don't want to know who it's from because... If you know who it's from, that pretty much gives it away as well.
I've got to admit, and I think I did this to Matt earlier on in the year, and I apologise, Matt, because I think I sent you a message about something, and it turns out I think you hadn't been able to see the game live. It was a Broncos game, and And I think you mentioned in the podcast later that week that you'd watched it on delay, and I felt terrible because I'd been bagging out Josh McCrone for doing something good.
That's right.
And I think that was the game where the Broncos won 25-24 whatever
well,
we came
was,
back.
Yeah, that was a funny story. I was going to bring it up. You text, and then someone had walked past and said, "Oh, I heard about the Broncos leading 24-0. I'd heard the result, but it was kind of, oh, well, you know, that's not too bad. I've gone home to watch it and thought, we're going to get beat here. So it was one of those where I heard a bit of a result and it kind of threw me a little bit.
But people, if you're out there and you know what we're talking about, please just let us know we're not freaks and that's how we live.
Well, tell us the stories.
I know if they've got it. It's the vibe.
You know how some people are peace-loving people. They don't want to hurt anybody. It wouldn't hurt a fly. When someone comes up to you and says, "Oh, how about that game?" and they actually give you the result, the fist clenches, the self-control borders on
but
insanity.
But then do you contain yourself and not do that to other people?
I thought that Matt had been watching it, given it was at Suncorp and...
See, because one of the things that me and my mates like to do, we send text messages to each other going, "Yeehaw, we're in the Saints," you know, and all the rest of it. But if you haven't been watching it and you get a text message and you wonder, I'm not even going to look.
And that's a rookie mistake. If you're on Twitter, anybody, do not go on Twitter if you don't want to know this.
Well, my phone goes off.
Oh, you just can't, you can't risk it. Anyway, the Knights won 40 points to 24 and they wrapped up 8th spot, unless the Bulldogs had won by like 98 or something in their game on the weekend. The other game... The Dragons 32, Panthers 12. The story of this match, I think, was the Penrith Panthers' first 20 minutes. They just threw the ball around beautifully. It was great to watch.
Played some good football, the Penny Panthers, but
didn't score a point.
I credit it to them. I'd put the cross for them. I thought the Dragons were gone for the year, but they've recovered a bit. They're playing some good football on the. You've alluded to it many a time, though, when Darius Boyd foreign was. Side of the Dragons.
Indeed. The other games, Dave, we'll talk about the Dragons soon, but the next game, mate, what was that?
Was that the game?
Yeah, we'll talk about that when we talk about the Tigers and the Dragons, mate. We can't spend time talking about stupid stories about not wanting to know the scores stuff like that.
I was with the Dragons army and I was underneath the flag and I was having a good time hooting and hollering with them, because it was just me, because I've got a family membership and the family couldn't come, so we wasted 3 tickets.
All good. Okay, Warriors 18 points to 6 over the... No one wants to hear about the Dragons.
Yeah, all right, go on, move on.
Warriors 18 points to 6 over the Cowboys. Cowboys had their chances in this match, couldn't get across the line either side of halftime, and the Warriors were pretty clinical. Anything to add, Matt?
You've summed it up beautifully, Walls.
Tigers 30 points to 22 over the Sharkies, who gave them a bit of a fright, played some good football. The Tigers, this was much more like the performance I thought they'd play against the Titans the week before, just trying to get out of the way, trying to avoid injury, etc., etc. The Sharks probably had as good a chance to win this match as the Tigers, but Robbie Farah stepped up, hat-trick, wins the game. Parramatta, 32 points to 12 over the Gold Coast Titans. And ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a roasting here on Not the Footy Show. Matt, were you aware of what happened, mate, or was it my little tweet that tipped it off?
No, you were onto it was you. All you.
No, I'm asking, because I'm sure that a lot of people were sitting there, they just watched the Tigers and the Sharks play. Simon Wolford, the old Germ, goes to interview Luke Douglas after the match. And he'd obviously written down a whole bunch of great, insightful questions to ask a player who's just played 80 minutes of football and all he wants to do is get off the field and sit down and have a drink. So Simon Wolford's come up to him and just gone, "Yeah, mate, so yeah, how's the season been?" "It's, yeah, whatever. Yeah, great." Now, you're off to the Gold Coast Titans next year and they're finished up with a wooden spoon. Now, that would be generally a pretty... innocent kind of comment.
But
when
game's
it's Super
on
Saturday and the game is on next, and the only reason you would possibly want to watch the Eels play the Titans...
is because it's for the wooden spoon.
And Simon Wolford, trying to be clever, has given away the result. I honestly would love to see the figures for this game. They're sort of lucky that the Eels won in a lot of senses, because if he'd said that the Titans had avoided the spoon, no one would have watched it. But how does this sort of slip through to the keeper... Do you reckon he's got a little rap on the knuckles afterwards?
I don't know how he gets a job. He's hopeless.
He was such a great footballer, mate.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
I must admit, it's along the similar lines that we were talking about earlier with the South and the Newcastle result. Right. But the vibe, I hate it when you'll hear, it happened a couple of times, a couple of years ago, but Ray Warren would be talking up the Friday night game next. You'd go, "Oh, stay tuned to Parramatta versus Manly. It's a cracker." And you immediately know that it's going to be a close match. Now... But I don't like that. I prefer to watch it unfold for itself. I don't like hints. Hints are the worst thing in the world. Let me watch the game of football.
But he didn't give away who won.
On the Sunday afternoon game, when it was delayed on the line, if you knew how many ads or what they'd cut out if it was going to Golden Point.
Yep.
Because they had to cut out a lot more of the, you know, the time going.
There was a game, there was a game last year.
Matter,
no, it does, it does. There's a game last year. This is why it matters.
It matters Parramatta because you know you've got to keep watching to see who wins.
Parramatta versus the Tigers. It's 22 points to 20. You look at the clock, and there is literally 1 minute till 6 o'clock. Luke Burt is lining up a conversion practically from in front to tie the game up to go
so
in the Golden Point. So you knew he was going to miss it. It's stuff like that. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But yeah, other things...
Well, how are they going to avoid that? Come on. Stop being children. They can't... They can't bloomin'...
Anyway, in the end, Jarrod Hayne was pretty spectacular in this match. I think he set up 5 of the 6 tries and scored the other one himself.
It's a fitting it's a fitting result, really. I wouldn't have liked to have seen Parramatta get the wooden spoon when they haven't been playing.
I did, because I think I tipped against them when they... like I tipped them about 4 times in the last 6 weeks of the comp.
It's very sad then, to see the Titans get the spoon, because you want to see
really.
These new teams, you want to see them do well. And when they were third last year and third the year before or whatever...
Some people tipped they'd miss the 8. Not naming
I hear you. But
yeah, I didn't expect them to finish last. The Bulldogs and Benny Barber... He goes out against the Raiders. He knows he needs 4 tries to match the top try scorer, Nathan Merritt, for the season. And he just duly goes out and scores 4 tries, just like that. Ben Barber is a bit of a freak. And I want to point it out, he should have scored he should have scored 5 because Josh Morris didn't want to pass to him.
Yeah, he cost him there. He looked set for the 5.
So 36 points to 22, the Bulldogs ended up beating the Canberra Raiders. The sooner that season was over, the better for the Raiders. Your boys, 18 points to 10 over Manly. For about, I don't know, 15 minutes there, it looked like he might get the required for and against boost to knock off Manly for second spot, Matt.
Yeah, it was looking good, and then that disallowed try, I think, kind of took the wind out of our sails a bit, and we went to half-time, and Manly come out firing, and I don't think we were quite on our game, but, we stuck to our guns in the second half and got away with the 2 points.
I was impressed by Manly's defence in the second half. You guys had, might even start the second half, end of the first. You guys had a lot of possession on their line. They just kept holding you out. Just when the game could have got messy, it was impressive display by Manly to hold you guys. But yeah, what was your record at Suncorp this year?
Of
The Broncos.
Of me watching them? Or...
No, just in wins and losses. Did you? You only lost what? Did you lose any at all?
And we lost against the Cowboys.
In round one.
In round one, and then I think there was maybe one other one against the Storm when we rested the players.
Oh, yeah, but still, that's a pretty awesome effort from the Broncos.
That's very good, isn't it?
Because I think Suncorp has that sort of, not quite the SFS, ANZ sort of thing where everyone just enjoys going to play there, but you're gradually building it back up as a bit of a fortress, which is important for the Brisbane Broncos. And then finally, we saw a massive turn-up. If you were in any tipping comps where you were locked into your tips on Friday, and you were in a tipping comp to try and win something at the end of the year, you would have been spewing when you heard an hour before the game that Cameron Smith and Billy Slater weren't going to play. We've spoken about it with Andy already, Matt, but this was just one-way traffic at the SFS.
Yeah, the Roosters hit form at the wrong time of the year, unfortunately, but it kind of just proves what we've said all year with Melbourne, very, very good team with the big three. Without the big three, they're just an ordinary lot of footballers.
And that left us with the end of regular season action, and the round 26 ladder looked like this. The Melbourne Storm with 42 points with the minor premiers, then the Seagulls and Broncos on 40 points, the Tigers on 34, the Dragons, who we all thought, really at the start of the year, apart from you, Matt, would probably go back-to-back minor premiers, or triple back minor premiers, ended up finishing 5th with 33 points, the Warriors 32 with the Cowboys on 32 as well. The Knights finishing 8th spot, on 28, on 4 and against from the Bulldogs on 28, 9th, and the Rabbitohs, Roosters, Panthers, Sharks, Eels, Raiders, and Titans rounded out the mediocre sides in the competition. So that left us with semi-final football, boys. And
Can I point out there, was it pointed this out to me earlier, if the Seagulls had beaten the Broncos by only a little bit, they would have been minor premiers.
If, because of the 4 and against, they ended up coming within 5 points of the Storm's 4 and against, but having said that, do you reckon that Craig Bellamy rests Billy Slater and Cameron Smith if the Seagulls win that match, Matt?
No way.
That's a good point.
So that would, but still, no one really thought of it at the start of the weekend that the Roosters win by 30.
Show.
Need to play a role. Little one finds a goal.
We're going to look at the qualifying finals. This is the weekend that we hope, under the McIntyre system, that it sorts out gets rid of the pretenders out of the mix. We've got 4 pretty good games of footy. We're going to start with the one on Friday night, which everyone is looking forward to, and that means that the West Tigers and the Dragons have a replay of their awesome preliminary final last year. The Dragons got the Bickies that night, 13 points to 12. We're looking at this game, and a lot of people are suggesting that these two teams could end up in the grand final. They said at the start of the year, they're saying it again now, the way the system works, they can play in the GF. Who do we like, boys?
Tigers for me, but I think it'll be an absolute cliffhanger. I really do. I honestly think it will go to Golden Point.
Wow. Now, Golden Point in semi-final football, I'm pretty sure it's sudden death, correct?
It is, yep, that's correct.
As in, they just keep playing? Is it that how it works? Like, as in just... there's no changeover after 5 minutes?
Yep. So they swap after five, and then after the next five, they play to the result.
Okay, well, there you go. So, yeah, looking at that, so field goal is the smart Ryan Tandy money for the deciding part of this game.
And considering Sauer's not playing too well and not kicking too well, you got to put your money on Tigers by one.
Are you picking the Tigers by one?
Well, this is where
we explain that.
I desperately want the Dragons to play well enough to beat them, but I think they're going to need to play very, very well to beat them, and I just think they're not going to quite make it.
This game, for me, boils down to one very important aspect of a football game, and it's pretty obvious. I call it in Origin 3. I'm going to call it again in this match. Whoever starts well and gets on the board with two converted tries or 8 points or whatever, gets that lead up, I think they win the match. For the Dragons, it's absolutely crucial for them because I still maintain it. I don't think they're a great team that chases points.
No, it's true.
The Tigers, they had a similar situation last year, if you recall, that semi-final. They got an early six-point lead. Didn't put anything extra on when they needed to. The Dragons got back to 6-all, then it went 12-6, 12-all or whatever. I just think the Tigers, they need to lead as well. So I'll pick the West Tigers to win the match based on the fact I think they start well. Dave's going to say the West Tigers as well.
You're going to say the Tigers as well.
But the way we're doing our tipping comp this year for the finals here on Not the Footy Show is a little bit different. Because instead of just letting Nick McInerney pick the favourites every single week, we're adding in the line. So currently the line is the Tigers are plus two, which means if you want to pick the Dragons, you got to go Dragons by more than 3 points. So, boys, does that mean we're all going with the West Tigers with the two-point head start?
Definitely.
Yeah, I think we are.
Write it down, Dave. Okay, so that means we're not saying the Dragons are out of the competition, but the way that the system works, it happened before in 2004. The Dragons lost to the Panthers in week one, and they were out by that next night. Dave, we were actually at your brother's wedding, and I think I took a little bit of joy in.
Yeah, I think you did.
In the fact that you guys had been beaten the night before, and then by the end of the wedding, the Dragons are out of the competition. And to think there's conversations in the afternoon about, oh, we'll be right, we'll get another game, and we're still a big chance at the Premiership, and
It's very plausible again, isn't it? Because it is plausible that both the Broncos and the Sea Eagles will lose. I know it's far-fetched, but it is doable.
It's possible. That's the next game. Now, you'll be at Suncorp Stadium Saturday night, Matt.
Ready, raring to go.
You're not there already, are you?
I am, mate. Camped outside, still got my lucky T-shirt.
You're just sitting on that same patch of grass with your foot over it, just so no one knows that it's gone. The Broncos, they are the favourites, but I think it's come in a little bit over the last couple of days. The Warriors have got a 2.5 points head start. The Warriors, as we've said with Annie before, have been the sexy pick for most of the year. They get the Broncos without Hoffman, they get the Broncos without Thaiday. What are we thinking, lads?
The Broncos are still too solid. The Warriors have been playing well. They did well to beat Cowboys. But like we said before, it's just, I don't know, they just lack that little bit too much for me to take them. I'm gonna say Broncos.
Matt?
As much as I'm a big rap for Hoffman and obviously Thaiday, the big in for the Bronx is Justin Hodges, and we're a more confident team and a better team when he's playing. So, yeah, I'll stick with the Bronx.
Okay, so you're going to have them to cover the 2.5 start?
Yep.
Yeah, they'll cover the 2.5 start.
All right, so Dave's going with you. I'm going with the Warriors, but I actually think the Broncos will win. Now, that sounds... Ooh, because it's the 2.5, I think a field goal decides this one as well. Or a penalty, and with that 2.5 start, I've got the flexibility of going with the Warriors in this. Look, I think that I've said before, something I've said to you already, Matt, I think without Josh Hoffman, you guys are in a world of hurt. Long term, you might get through this match, but I just think he's too big a loss for you guys to overcome, even with the Darren Lockyer factor. The Warriors last year, if you recall, in their semi-final against the Titans, they just gave them a massive lead early on and couldn't recover. I don't think they start this badly against the Broncos on the weekend. And I'll pick Brisbane to win the match, but for the tipping comp, I'm taking the Warriors with a 2.5 head start. It'd be very interesting to see how Felipe Mateo goes in the pressure of semi-final football, whether he's willing to offload like a machine like he has all during the season. The other game on Saturday night sees the Manly Ringer Seagulls take on the Cowboys. The Cowboys are plus 7.5, which is a massive start, given that there is doubts over Stewart, Papawade. There's no Glenn Stewart. I don't know about you, Matt, but I'm leaning towards those Cowboys.
Yeah, with the start particularly was, and Thurston probably hasn't fired like you would have expected him to back from injury, but he is a really big game player. I think he'll come out firing in this game. I think Cowboys can give Manly a fright in this game. This will be another cliffhanger, and I think with the 7.5, they do look an attractive option.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I'll pick the Cowboys with a start. It pains me to go against Manly because I think they've been so consistent throughout the year, but you know, Glenn Stewart being out and that forward pack for the Cowboys, if they can get some clean ball and the conditions aren't too dewy at the SFS, the likes of Bowen and Thurston, they could really carve up Manly inexperienced forward pack because they're missing some, like, they're missing Jason King and they're missing Glenn Stewart. They're two of their better defenders as well. I'm going to take the Cowboys with the start, not with supreme confidence, but with more than I think they probably deserve. Dave?
It's the 7.5 start that does it for me. I think this is going to be another close game, but because the Cowboys have got the 7.5, then I'm going to pick them in our tipping comp.
So, but you think Manly will win the game?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so I'm going Cowboys. Matt, you're going?
Yeah, I'm Cowboys.
And you're going Manly.
Cowboys
with
the
start.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
All right, that leaves us with one final match to look at, and that's the Melbourne Storm up against the Newcastle Knights. First versus eighth. Cameron Smith and Billy Slater come back into the side. Slater about three other players through suspension and whatnot. Some big ins for the Melbourne Storm, but they've got a big out. Gareth Widdop definitely will not play this round. There's a doubt over whether he'll play any more games this season because he's got an ankle sprain, which basically means, translation is, he's got ankle ligament damage, which can be pretty serious. Although Cooper Cronk had the same thing and was only missed two weeks. We probably all agree that Melbourne, they'll win this match, but the start is 10.5 for the Newcastle Knights. And to be honest, in the tipping comp, I'm going with the Newcastle Knights.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm totally with you, Woz. Knights have really impressed me all year, how they've stuck in games that they weren't expected to be in. I think this is going to be another one where they'll stick with Melbourne all night. Probably don't have the class to beat them, but yeah, I think they'll be in this game right up until the death and give themselves a hope. And, you know, a few of those younger Melbourne players might be a bit rattled after copping a big loss.
Yeah.
I know they get the key players back in, but yeah, geez, the conference might be rattled a bit.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm taking the Melbourne to win the match, but definitely the Knights 10.5 is just too attractive to avoid in that in this scenario. No. And the fact the game's played at 4 o'clock, it's not a night game. I think the Knights style is conducive to dry weather football. I mean, it's in Melbourne, so it could rain. You never know. But I think that the Knights might give them a bit of a scare down in Melbourne. It wouldn't be the first time, I think, finishing first that the Storm have had a bit of a scare
early on. I'm taking Melbourne.
So cover the head start. So there's your tips, everybody. Now, do we have a comment on what it means if our results go away? So we're basically saying Brisbane to beat the Warriors as a group. We're saying the Tigers to beat the Dragons. We're saying, are we saying the Cowboys beat the Seagulls? I think 2-1 we did.
I think we're saying
Melbourne will beat the Knights. So that means that Melbourne go through, and also the Broncos go through, and they'll have weeks off. Now, under the McIntyre system, which according to a press release by the NRL today...
Oh, here we go.
Let me just get into this. Why the McIntyre system works. It produces the most exciting finals system. I know you like it, Matt, but just let me put a couple of points out here.
Just for listeners, Woz has been facetious here, okay? He's not
I can't spell
fan.
It, but I am being it. Okay, the biggest argument they're making in this press release is that the eighth place team should have to jump a higher hurdle to reach week two. That's their big advocate for the team finishing eighth, not playing the team finishing fifth under the AFL system, for lack of a better way of describing the systems. They have to play the team coming first, and then they explain that there's pressure on the team to win every week and the rest of it because they have to fight to retain a home city or region advantage. Now, that's pretty hilarious, that whole idea of home final systems being something you actually play for, because as much as the NRL wants to bleed on about, you know, all the CEOs agreeing to this situation, not everybody's obviously happy about it. Why do you think they keep...
Why do they keep pushing this thing
that is a home advantage for Sydney teams? Can you understand it, Matt?
I don't get that at all, Woz. I don't know why. That really confuses me.
Anyway, so that's the facetious part. This is the next bit. How do you spell it again?
I'm not going to attempt to spell it.
All right. So then, one of the most contentious aspects of the system is that the teams in the top four can lose their home ground advantage in the second week. The rationale for this system is that it rewards teams that win. Now, so far, so good. I don't have a great bugbear with that idea. It says a team that finishes eighth and which defeats the minor premier should have incentive of a home game next week. So they made a statement that the team coming eighth should have to really fight for its chance to get past week one.
And if they do win, they are entitled to a home final.
And then they make a comment that I just don't quite understand. It says, this is word for word, without this, the challenges of coming eighth become almost too great. Now, is that saying, now I could be wrong, is that saying that under the AFL system, it's harder for a team finishing eighth and playing the team coming fifth than it is for a team that finishes eighth and plays a team coming first?
Matt, did you follow that?
I know where he's going. Yeah, that's kind of what they're alluding to. But I guess they're talking about once you get past that first week, even though it's not well written. Once you get past that first week, they're saying it's easier under the McIntyre system.
And the funny thing about all that is that the easiest way they could make their little home ground advantage thing continue is they could adopt the AFL system, and instead of the top four side that loses getting the next home semi-final, the team that wins one of the bottom four games, the two teams that win the bottom four games, could just play a home semi-final against the teams that lose the top four matches. Yeah, and they get the same advantage that they're trying to tell. They're trying to tell everybody that they get under the McIntyre system.
I don't like that, because then number four has to play number one and has a good chance of losing to them. And then they have to play away from home the next week as well.
But see, that's the whole argument behind it, is we're trying to say that the home ground advantage is a huge factor in this. Yet, if you're a Sydney team,
it's not.
You've lost it. So
yeah, you've lost it now.
That's why I think that the NRL just loses traction with these examples they give at why the McIntyre system is better.
They're not going for fantasy. They're going for bums on seats. Yeah. That's why they've made the decision about the ANZ and the SFS.
We have spoken about it before, Matt, but I just want to be quick on it. The whole idea of region semi-finals when it gets to the third week of the semi-finals, is that the most indefensible concept of the McIntyre system?
Yes.
Do you want to explain to Dave what that means?
Yeah, you better.
another time. I don't know if we've got time to explain to Dave. It takes a while to
explain. Okay, Dave, in a nutshell.
Quickly.
Warriors, Cowboys, Melbourne can all play at their home ground.
Yeah. Brisbane?
In week three. Brisbane, obviously.
Yeah.
Gold Coast have to move to Brisbane.
Yeah.
Newcastle, Canberra have to move to Sydney.
Yeah.
How is that fair that allows the Warriors and the Cowboys, in particular, to play home preliminary finals, as the game before the grand final, to play their home finals in their city, and yet Newcastle and Canberra and the Gold Coast can't play theirs?
Yeah, but then again, they're not trying to be fair. It's bums on seats. Not for the Cowboys, is it? Because the Cowboys stadium can only hold about 20,000.
This is the thing. This is where it all.
It's a very hard situation with the way rugby league is set up.
That's basically what I'm saying in this whole situation. Everybody is. Can we just have the NRL just say this is the way we're doing it? Suck on it. I'd love to suck on it. Because if you recall, we had to move away from semi-finals in Sydney because no one was coming. Do you remember that, Matt?
I do remember that,
Woz. And now we're hitting, I think it was Gallup used the example. Oh, Glenn Lazarus, who played so many great finals, said he always looked forward to playing at the SFS. So it's just funny how it all swings and roundabouts, comes back to we're going to end up with centralised finals.
The reason why they moved it, well, it's bums on seats because of the whole Parramatta St George fiasco last year.
It's not just that game, but I know.
That's a perfect example, and it happens lots.
I was talking about who would get through under our system. Melbourne and Brisbane go through to week number three with their wins. Okay,
yes.
That's what we're saying.
Right.
So that means that the Knights are gone.
Yep.
And it means that the Warriors are gone as the second lowest ranked loser. Okay, I'll say highest ranked loser.
Yep.
That means that the way that the system works, Matt. Now you're a massive fan of the McIntyre system. How well do you understand it?
I'm not a genius on it. I like the unpredictability of it.
So you like the fact that you don't know what's happening. That's good. Now I'm pretty sure that would leave the Tigers as the highest ranked winner, and that would leave the Cowboys as the the highest, second highest ranked winner. Now, I'm pretty sure the way it works is that the highest ranked loser, I think, plays the lowest ranked winner. A loser. Sorry. The highest ranked winner plays the lowest ranked loser.
I think you've nailed it.
Okay, so, but the problem that comes out of this situation is that the Tigers can't play the Dragons again.
Because they've got to switch over.
So that means that the Tigers have to actually play Manly. This is why I don't like the McIntyre system.
Yeah.
The Tigers actually have to play Manly, and North Queensland get to play the Dragons. Now, purely on seeding situation, that means that 4 plays 2 and 7 plays 5. This is one of the other areas of the McIntyre that I really dislike.
And the Dragons, the Tigers, actually, Cowboys
the Tigers might have
Cowboys,
been more yeah. advantaged to actually lose their match, because that means they'd probably play the Cowboys who finished 7th.
Yeah, but they won the week before, proving that they're good enough to win.
But I'm saying you get a lower... The case in point is that the Dragons who finished 5th actually get a technically easier game than the Tigers who won their match.
We've got to go up to Cowboy land and play Cowboys who just towered up Manly.
But under the seeding situation is what I'm trying to explain.
Yeah,
why should
4
have to play 2 and 5 get to play 7? That's one of those situations. So next week, people, it could happen. It could have the Tigers versus Manly and the Cowboys versus St. George Illawarra. Well, matey, we're going to leave you in just a few minutes. We have got your tips. We've got everything that's happening. And a reminder to everybody that you've got to enter our fantasy league. It's pretty fantastic, sort of. but the T-shirt is pretty awesome. Matty, you've got obviously got this little radio show that happens on a Thursday. Mate, the finals in the Queensland Cup are getting underway. You've had your local rugby league. Did they have their grand final this last weekend, mate?
Grand final this Saturday was. Yeah,
mate, sell it, mate, sell it.
Gympie Devils.
The Gympie Devils. Yep. I still maintain they should be called the Gympie Gimps, but that's just me.
Yeah, no, you've been a big advocate of that. I'll try and get that on the agenda. we've got the coach of the Gympie Devils on. I'll see how he feels at New Monica. Yeah, so... But like we said, they've got a few former NRL players. Billy Rogers, Chris Carler, Adam Starr all go around for the Gympie Devils. So it should be a cracker jack game. And Redcliffe Dolphins are taking on South Logan.
Now, is that at home?
Yeah, no, that's being played at South Logan's home ground on Saturday. So.
Now, there's a few Canberra Raider players who are still playing their trade for the South Logan Magpies. So it'd be worth going to see if you get up there in Brisbane, go and check out that match. Mate, so big sports fever then.
Yeah, action-packed sports fever. We've got coach from the Dolphins and the Snakes and the Gympie Devils. As well as we're talking a little bit of basketball, of course, Australia-New Zealand series going on at the moment and playing in Brisbane on Friday night. So we'll talk a little bit of Boomers as well.
Now, you can obviously grab their podcast on the website, www.1015fm. Is that right? I keep second-guessing myself if I got the numbers right. www.1015fm. Ah, I'm now stuffed up completely. You can see it on his website, I've lost it completely. Dave,
let Matt have a go.
1015,
that's it. There we go. Yeah. 1055 on the second go round. I'm on fire, everybody. And you can hear the podcast of all the Sports Fever shows, which are really worth having a listen to. I wanted to ask you one more thing before we let you go, mate, and that is there's a YouTube video that's just gone up. It involves the Brisbane Heat T20 side. What can you tell us about it, mate?
Get along, check that out. You just type Brisbane Heat, and I've got a string of videos there. It's James Hope throwing a ball across the Brisbane River, skimming it up, and Chris Hartley catches it on the other side. It's a pretty fancy party trick.
And I believe you taught him that, mate?
Yeah, I actually went to uni with Hopesy, and taught him a thing or two, so I'm going to claim that one.
Very good. Well, mate, I'm going to hope that the Broncos get a win for you, mate, on Darren Lockyer's. We're thinking it's the second last game. It's at best, it's the second last game. At worst, it's his last up there in Brisbane. And I think that's right, isn't it? Yeah.
He might play 3 more.
Well, it could be second last in Brisbane. Yeah,
well, there we go. Yeah, in Brisbane, but yeah. I hope you get a nice show on Saturday night. And we'll speak to you next week on Not the Footy Show.
Good on you, boys. See you later.
See you later, mate.
Not the Footy Show. Show?
And meters away. Down the blind, Andrew Johns. Inside for Albert. Albert will score. Albert will score. Newcastle have won the grand final. Albert is over. Manly has been beaten by Newcastle on full time.
Not the Footy Show. Show?
Okay, everyone, it's time for Eyes' tips for the qualifying finals. And as always, Boots is in the house, so say hello, boys and girls.
Hello, boys and girls. Hello!
Now, we've got the four games on the schedule this weekend, but there was some big news on Monday night, and that was what, Oz?
Benji Marshall won the Person of the Year.
The Player of the Year, that's right, on the NRL Tweet Awards. So that was really good, well done work. And I think you can see his little prize over here, can't you? That looks pretty cool. What is it?
It's a mug. It's a cup. It's a cup master. It's an arm thing.
It's a drink holder. Yes, that's right. I was very close. And what's on his award?
Benji.
A picture of Benji, and then the thing that says the NRL Tweet Player of the Year. So congratulations to Benji. Yeah.
Yep.
Ams, are you pretty happy that Benji won that award?
Yes.
And so Benji won our award, and now Billy Slater won the Dally M's, and he came in fifth in our award. So he did pretty well to end up with that. Now everyone remembers that Billy Slater was our Mr. Consistency, Isaac, and that meant that he got votes in the most amount of games. So that's pretty good, isn't it?
Okay. Yes, it is. It's really lovely.
It is, isn't it, Oz? Yeah, so well done, Billy. Well done to Benji. Now we're going to get your tips for the four qualifying finals. Friday night, the Tigers take on the Dragons. Who's going to win this?
Tigers.
Our
Tigers.
The Tigers. All right, so you don't think the Dragons can win?
No.
Okay, the Broncos play the Warriors at Suncorp?
Broncos. No, I mean the Warriors.
The Warriors. Warriors! The Warriors for Eyes. You think they might actually beat the Broncos, eh? Why is that?
Because they've got six.
And how many the Broncos got?
Three.
Even though that means that the Broncos finished third and the Warriors finished sixth, higher is better. Is that right, Oz?
Yeah.
Okay, the Seagulls play the Cowboys?
Seven. Cowboys.
And then on Sunday, the minor premiers Melbourne Storm take on the Newcastle Knights.
Newcastle Knights.
Okay, so there's Isa's tips for the qualifying finals, ably assisted by Boots. Now, mate, I believe you'll be making a special appearance in the video this week.
Yep.
Don't give everybody any tips, but it could involve handing over a certain, what was it, a cup holder? Is that what you called it?
Yep.
Or an arm guard to one Benji Marshall. So check out that on the video, everybody. And Isa will be back to speak to you next week on the show. So I can say goodbye to everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye. Can I listen to that?
Five tackles gone. Goldthorpe goes to the defence line, puts the grubber in the back. Khan now, big test for Khan. Oh, there's no test for Khan. He's back into the field of play. That's why he's the number one. Langer away for Renoff. Renoff, we haven't seen much of him today. Now take a look at him as he crosses the halfway. They won't catch him. He's heading for the corner, and he's over. Renoff makes it 22 points to 4.
Not the footy show.
Hey, you got a tip, Bruce?
What a chump.
A trap?
No, a tump.
A tip. A tip for what, Brew?
The footy Brew.
Okay, we've got him on the line. Finally, Nick McInerney is talking finals rugby league. We had him here on Monday night doing the NRL Tweet Player of the Year awards. And, mate, it looks like the Dally M's didn't copy us.
Oh, I know. Massive surprise there. Although I think it's probably worked out well. I think Billy had been the most consistent player, as our awards ceremony did prove. And
yep.
he's probably a little bit more deserving than Benji, I think. So I don't think you can be really that upset by the whole thing.
I think it's fine. Benji ended up finishing second as it is, and I think Billy was fifth in our awards. But as you pointed out, was our Mr. Consistency for 2011. So that's all the news from the start of the week, but now we look forward to the qualifying finals, mate, and Friday night. We're just going to get your tips. We're going to go through who you think's going to win. But Friday night, there's a couple of things to point out. Not only are your Dragons and Tigers playing at ANZ Stadium, but the NRL has worked it out that if you pay your base ticket price, you get free transport.
Ooh, that works out pretty well. Nice work. How exactly are they working that in?
Well, if you bought your ticket, you just show your ticket, basically, I think.
You just show the ticket? Oh, okay.
So that only includes bus.
Tickets at the ground? What
yeah.
do you do?
Sorry, mate?
What if you're buying tickets at the ground?
You're stuffed, but I'm not 100% sure, to be honest, but it's a good point.
Wear your jersey on the bus.
Yeah, you just say you're going to the game. I think they'd be pretty lax, all the public transport systems, because I imagine there's been a bit of a funneling to money anyway in regards to that. But that's a pretty good incentive by the NRL, and I'm pretty sure it applies to the SFS game on Saturday night as well when Manly play at the Cowboys. So, but we're going to get your tips for the qualifying finals, but you need to know that our tipping system is different for the finals.
Oh, interesting. I'm listening.
Well, you know how you tend to just pick favourites every single week?
That's it. Guess who I'm going to pick this week? No surprises.
Well, we're now introducing the line into all our tips for the semi-finals. So, for all four games, if a team's got a start, if you're going to pick the other team, you've got to take them covering the start. So it's a little bit different.
You've got to take the line.
It's a little bit more difficult than just picking the favourites, mate. So we're going to kick off with Friday night. Tigers and Dragons. Tigers are +2.
Well, I think I'm pretty happy to take the mighty Dragons. I honestly think we're going to turn up big time this weekend. We're going to crush Benji. And I think the Dragons are going to be too good for the Tigers.
So you're taking the Dragons to win by 3 or more, mate.
That's it. I lock it in. Lock it in. 13+. Lock it in.
Bold call. Broncos play the Warriors.
Declared them.
Broncos play the Warriors on Saturday night. The Warriors are +2.5.
Oh, so I thought they would have had a bit of a bigger start than that. I'm quite happy to take Brisbane with the old -3. Is it that I have to take them with?
Yep.
So yeah, I'm going to take Brisbane. I know they got a few players out, but I think they'll be too classy for the Warriors. Hello, it'll be.
Yeah, well, there's no Hoffman, no Thaido.
It's going to be close.
Indeed. Okay, the Sea Eagles play the Cowboys at the SFS, and the Cowboys are +7.5.
Oh, see this game I thought would have been closer in the odds, given that Manly have a few players out. Is Brett Stewart available?
Brett Stewart and Will Hopewade, they expect to play, but you never know. Could be ruled out on Saturday.
If they do, they'll be underdone well and truly. And they're massive point-scoring machines for those guys, but as we know, DCE and Florin have been pretty special. It's a big start. I'm pretty tempted to go with the Warriors if we're looking at starts. I think
the Cowboys
will win, but I think it's going to be... Sorry, the Cowboys. I think the Seagulls will win, but I think the Cowboys won't be far off them. So it all depends on JT. Is he going to turn up and fire up in a big way? But I think I might have to give the Cowboys a start.
Well, there you go. That means everybody is gone. The Cowboys with a 7.5 start. No one thinks that Manly can win.
Well, I'm pretty close to saying the Cowboys. Out of all four games, I think that might be the one I would peg. If I had to pick an upset, that'd be it.
Yep. Well, that leaves us with one game left, and that's the Storm taking on the Knights at Amy Park. The Knights are +10.5.
Oh, see, that's massive. I reckon the Storm will win this game pretty comfortably, but will they win by 10.5? I'm still going to take them. I'm going to back them to get home by more than 10.5.
Okay, so that gives you you haven't gone the favourites with the Seagulls, you've gone the Cowboys, you've gone the Storm as favourites, you've gone the Broncos as favourites, you've gone the Dragons as favourites. So we've turned you around a little bit. That 7.5 that the Cowboys have got is making it a bit tough for you to pick favourites across the board. But if you just had to pick the winners in each game, I'm gathering you go on the Dragons, the Broncos, Manly and the Storm.
That's it. I'm going with all the favourites if it's just the straight head-to-head.
I don't know why we bothered getting your tips every week, mate. We should just tell everybody favourites all the way. Now, the tough part of the final series, mate, isn't the tipping. It's the Fantasy League. And you'll be entering a team, no doubt, in Not The Footy Show's Fantasy League for the final series?
Oh, yes. Well, the stakes have been increased. And I am loving the look of these supporter jerseys. Fantastic, nice little development there on your part, was it?
Thanks, mate.
But the most intriguing part about the whole fantasy for me is the triple point play. Should your players play in the grand final, all of their points will be tripled. So you've got to try and, you know, it's who can guess best which two teams are going to get into the GF. You could be struggling until the last week in the fantasy, but if you have, well, half your team maybe in the grand final roster, triple points for anything they do in the grand final. That's massive. I think it'll be very interesting to see who can win this one.
Quick reminder, if you're in Supercoach Leagues, we have one for the final series. The code is 287-547. That code again, 287-547. Make sure you join our league. There won't be any prizes for this particular one, but there will be in our one on wnicholson.com. So make sure you enter it, please. So how many Dragons are you going to be inside, bud?
Well, I don't know. I'm the only... Actually, in the last week, my confidence has risen a fair bit for the Dragons, because I'm just looking at it thinking, yeah, if we can knock off the Tigers and really have a good first week, I think we'll get enough confidence to say, well, because they are one of the most dangerous teams, so to knock them off first would be a massive, massive confidence booster. And provided that the Melbourne Storm and Manly both win their first games, they're straight to the semi, so it's just going to be very interesting. Although, I was looking at trying to figure it out. And if fourth and fifth play, and you know, one beats eight, two beats seven, do the fourth and fifth and third and sixth just swap opponents for the next week? Is that how it works?
Correct. So that means that we had this discussion with Matt on the show as well, and yeah, a long story short, it's actually if there's an upset actually from the last two games, the 2v7, 1v8, the team that finishes fourth and the team that finishes third actually get a disadvantage. They have to play a better side in the second week.
That's right. That's right. So as the Dragons and as the Broncos, you're actually wanting one and two to win.
Yep.
So that you don't have to play them.
Yep. Correct, mate.
Very interesting system. I don't know if I really quite agree. I was just looking at it thinking, if all four favourites win, then you just swap opponents and have another week of footy. So I don't know really if that advantages anybody. I suppose it means that, you know, the top two teams go through and get a rest and the other teams have to fight it out for their spot. But very interesting system.
But remember, mate, they all get a home final second week, you know, unless that means that in Sydney, in that case, they have to play at the ANZ or SFS.
That's true.
We've been bleeding on about that the whole show. But, mate, there's your tips for the qualifying finals. We will no doubt talk on the weekend. We may even catch a game or two together, so that'll be good. And everybody, enjoy your rugby league over the final series. And if you're Nick McInerney, just go with the favourites.
That's it, boys. It's been working all season.
Off the footy show.
Tackled. That's four now, Ray. They've still got two. Lauatiti. Across for Jones. He puts the rolling ball in. Carlaw has scored. The one.
So there's been Not The Footy Show, episode 82. It's another week down, and that means the qualifying finals this weekend, Dave. Some teams will be knocked out, other teams will be thinking, ooh, they can actually win. They'll get a bit of a surprise. Yeah, maybe the Cowboys are that side, maybe the Warriors are that side. We don't think the Knights are that side.
We don't think the Knights. Really, that's the only side that I can completely
and
ride
you watch,
off.
They'll turn out. They'll turn up on Sunday and they'll win.
Because you make good points about Melbourne. They're over there, what do they call it, the top, the climax, they've reached the top of the hill and now they're coming down the other
they're
side.
They're off the plateau?
What's the word I'm looking here for here?
I think they've reached their plateau. There's no level up above.
They've peaked too early.
That's the one. But yeah, we've obviously got plenty on the podcast that you've just listened to. If you want to watch our video, it'll be online on Thursday. And we've got a special video also coming out. It's basically a music clip of rugby league, people. It will get you fired
up for the finals. With the finals.
We're counting down to the to start the of them, and it's going to be pretty amazing. it's going to be pretty terrible, but it's going to be pretty amazing. Thanks again for listening throughout the year. We've enjoyed bringing it to you. DC Chapman, always a pleasure to have you in the studio.
Mm-hmm. It's always a pleasure to have you in the studio, too.
Thanks, mate. Our guests, obviously, tonight, Andy Raymond.
It wouldn't happen if you weren't in the studio. I wouldn't know what to do.
Andy Raymond, Maria Cialis, me, Duncan. And Nick McInerney may or may not have been on the show.
I'd just
sit here
and pee my pants. I'm, you know...
It's on my nice couches, man. Oh. Anyway, we'll see you next week on Not The Footy Show. I hope you enjoy the fact that we've got September football in finals.
I'm very excited.
This is where it really matters, everybody.
This is getting good.
And we will definitely sort, I think, the contenders from the pretenders this weekend. So
yeah, we will.
We'll speak to you next week on Not The Footy Show. Make sure you listen to us. Go to iTunes and rate us on the iTunes page there. WDNicholson.com for all your rugby league news, particularly your fantasy late mail, all the information relating to the semi-finals. Fantasy League, enter. I'm not going to tell you again. Enter.
WDNicholson.com.
And follow us at the NRL Tweet. We'll see you next week on The Footy Show, everyone.
See you later, league lovers.
Not the Footy Show.
If you want lyrics, you're going to have to see our video clip. It'll be out on Friday.
Mate, that is the greatest thing you can ever do. Oh, I love everyone for making me feel this good. This is beautiful. Everyone who loves footy, everyone who follows footy, you made this moment so good for us. We've worked so hard, and that's what it all comes down to, man.
Darth Vader's in the house.
G'day, everyone. Ah, that's terrible.
G'day, everyone.
G'day, everyone. Welcome to Not the Footy Show. G'day, everyone. Welcome to Not the Footy Show, episode 82. You thought it was exactly the same.
It was exactly the same.
JT, a bit of mail about that Andrew Johns. Well, he's in the New South Wales camp, as you blokes would well know, but he's impersonating you at training, they tell me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And you're on. And Cam, you came out to Macho Man. What's the story there? Some... There's Johnny walking out. Crack and Donald there introducing them.
Very popular hooker number 9, Cameron Smith.
I want to congratulate Channel 9 on the salubrious surroundings for the cross tonight. Looks like you're on the main road. Terrific. Excellent.
Just off the freeway.
All right. No more drinks for you. Thank you, boys. I'll see you tomorrow at the big lunch out there. Excellent.
You've been sleeping over there?